welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's always thrown together at the last minute to keep it fresh, like the Prince of Bel-Air. And my very special guest is Mo Bedard, coming at us from some particular FEMA region. It's almost like a cross between FEMA and a demon, which isn't too far from the truth, really, now that I think about it. Mo, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on, Vinny. It's such a short notice. I really appreciate it. But no, it's an honor to be on your show. So when Vinny calls, I suggest you answer. And it's great to be on your show. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, it's nice because you're one of four people that did answer.
No, you're doing a show every day, you know, for several hours, and I know you have a lot of guests and a big itinerary you have to fill up, so it could be overwhelming. And I'm doing it on a small scale compared to you, just like a show or two every week, and that is overwhelming in itself for me. So hats off to you and to everybody else that does things like this. It's a lot of work, and if you're doing this every day, it is a hell of a lot of work.
Oh yeah, I'm even behind on my archives, Mo. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night editing together a presentation by a dentist named Dr. Stan Latrasse, I think, here in New Zealand. A little half hour presentation with his slides and two camera angles and what have you. So that's why the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives aren't up, because the Fluoride Action Network needs me to get off my ass sometimes.
Yeah, no, it just, I don't know how you do all that on top of, you know, the radio shows and your videos and your activism and so forth. So, again, it's a lot of work to do this stuff, and it's a low-paying job in itself. I'm finding it's tough to fund what I'm doing because I have to work on top of it. I have a day job where I run my own business, and, you know, it's tough to do this stuff on top of that, so... You know, I know it can be tough for you. I've been your friend as far as online. I never met you in person, but I feel like your friend for a little while and on Facebook and so forth. And, you know, it's critical that you guys get donations, you know, to support what you're doing out there. So did you ever pay your rent last month?
Obviously.
Obviously. I thought you were in like a moving van or something now, you know?
No.
I knew you would, of course, Vinny. Of course, you always...
Totally. Every time I ask for donations from my listeners always show up to support me because they don't want the show to go off air, I would assume. But the other element here is, as well, is I don't have a work, you know. I do this full time, all day, every day, exposing scumbaggery. Why? Because I'm allergic to working. All right. I stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, pretty much every night, working because I'm allergic to actually being employed, and I can't stand it.
Yeah. Imagine that. No, hey,
I'm making unique. Lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, no, definitely, and it's something I wish I could do full time. You know, because I actually enjoy podcasting and disseminating truth via my blog, Gnostic Warrior, and so I understand. What you do is you take a risk every month. So unfortunately, I kind of don't have a job because I run my own business. I have another website where I make a little money off advertising, and then I do websites as well. But I definitely wish I was doing this full time. But I know it's kind of tough, and I have kids to support and so forth. And again, advertising in this field, you know, now that I've been in, you know, internet marketing right now for quite some time, it's just real low paying. So again, just to support yourself, it's hats off to you again, you know, on top of the time of what you're doing out there. So,
yeah, I am feeling pretty exhausted actually, but you know, what difference will it make if I change? You know, in fact, there's something new in the works, Mo, that can actually change this whole work schedule of mine. It's called a big enough donation to get a second Mac. All right, if we had two Macs next to each other, then I can actually be working on one computer and have somebody else helping me to edit stuff on the other computer. Or even better yet, I can switch to the other computer during the ads and do editing stuff and what have you. I can save a hell of a lot of time, except new Macs cost like $2,000.
Yeah, no, I know this, the videos and the audio, the processing them, you know, to get them uploaded and rendered, it takes a lot of your computer, and you can't do anything else on your computer, so you're stuck. So you get those donations up so you can get that Mac, because you definitely can get a lot more done with two computers. You know, fortunately, you know, since I do run my own business, I can do that, is operate and have money to do things, but again, it makes it tough where I can't be as active as you are, you know, on the internet and doing these videos and these radio shows. So it's kind of a catch-22 situation that you put yourself in. But I think if you get that message out there enough, you know, there'll be enough people out there. Maybe they got like a used Mac that's not brand new, that's still really clean, that they could donate to you. Or, you know, you can get that money that, you know, some rich guy out there that loves you, Vinny, and it'll give you the money to do that. So.
Yeah, well, a dude has already donated $1,500. If somebody would match that, I can get something that's absolutely top of the line. If not, I'll just have to like scrounge around on eBay, try and find something, hope to find something that's cheap and does what it's supposed to. But yeah, it'd be nice to have another $1,500. Make that $3,000 and get yourself a really, really beefy AS computer that won't go out of date within 5 minutes or something of that nature, as they all do, which I think isn't technically possible. Anyway, Mo, can you please explain for those audience members who are unfamiliar with your work who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. My name is Mo Bedard. I reside in Southern California. Here in United States of America, I'm in a county called San Diego and a city called Carlsbad near the beach. And I'm a father, married, and I have 5 children. In regards to what I do as far as work, I operate a website called loansafe.org. That's my main website before I got into what I'm getting into now. And that deals with mortgages and foreclosures and the banking crisis. And I started that in 2007. So that was kind of my introduction into the truth movement, was getting into the banks and the mortgages and realizing they were fraudulent, and helping the people online with my website, loansafe.org, with their mortgages. So I started a forum, and that kind of kicked off because it was right at the start of the foreclosure crisis, and no one else had a website out there. So I saw that niche out there and started this website and started providing information to homeowners in America that were suffering mortgage problems. So that's kind of when I got into activism and truth, and I started realizing the corruption. I wasn't really hip to that. You know, even though I knew it growing up, I was a kind of a punk rocker. It didn't really get into the system and the mainstream stuff. I was always against it, but I was also kind of naive. I didn't have any knowledge of how the world worked and so forth. So when I got into this website, I really learned quickly how it worked, you know, seeing Obama make promises, you know, during his election, and literally every single promise that he had made, whether it be to homeowners, you know, suffering foreclosure or other things, basically totally changed his mind on those things. And he never came through with his promises. And then the banks just basically saying one thing to the homeowners who had fraudulent contracts and then kicking them out on the street, you know. So it just was starting to see this, and I started investigating it more and more, and kind of got tuned into the truther movement. You know, the Alex Jones, I think, is the first person everybody goes to and finds, and went from there to other people. I realized, you know, he was kind of not telling as much as you could find at other places, such as your podcast, Vinny. You know, I found you a few years ago, and then also I found Henrik from Red Eyes Creations, who's a great podcaster as well. So then I got into my own studies of knowledge and so forth, and started studying Freemasonry and the occult and the history of the church and my ancestry. And it started just snowballing there to what I'm doing now. And it's called GnosticWarrior.com. And that's kind of my own spiritual trip into truth and the history of the world and who I am as well with my ancestry.
Not to be confused with the frying pan salesman known as nonstickwarrior.com.
You always got to come up with something, right?
I I don't know. There's something wrong with my brain. I have this compulsion to give really lame puns.
Yeah, and for your listeners that aren't familiar with Gnostic or Gnosis or Gnosticism, it's basically G spelled with a G, N-O-S-I-S, or whatever the variations of the spelling. It's basically knowledge of thyself, spiritual knowledge of thyself. So that's kind of the trip that I'm in now, and I feel that there's a war against this, and there has been for hundreds of years against this knowledge of ourself and our past and our ancestors. And now that I'm studying it, I'm finding out that this is the truth, and it could pretty much open up a lot of doors for people out there that have been looking for it. So I actually got my DNA tested a couple of years ago, and that was really an eye-opener to see where my ancestors had come from and where, you know, I only been in America, my family, for the last 50 years, and then they were in Canada and then France and then all over the world. But just to find out where they come from was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the New World Order agenda is to prevent people from having a contact with their past. I think there's a good reason to break up the family as well, because that way you don't have grandparents, their children, and their grandchildren all living together and sharing stories and bridging what they call the generation gap. I was thinking about that just yesterday. I was like, how did this generation gap actually occur? How did all the knowledge between one or two generations get completely lost and dissipated? And now we've got a society full of young people who have no idea what it was like during the 70s or the 50s or the 30s. They don't have any idea how anything ever was. And so they've got no perspective on it. And it makes them very easy to manipulate by the controllers.
Yeah, definitely. They have it down to a science now, you know, between the education of the young to the media and to the work. So I come from the generation where my family didn't even know their past, and they were more of a Catholic kind of family from Quebec, Canada, and Montreal, and then they ended up coming here and doing the American dream, and they ended up getting a drinking habit and a smoking habit, and that pretty much stuck them on the couch right after work. You know, they got the work done, but right after that, it was right to the couch, the smoking, the drinking. Of course, the dinner got done, and they were functioning, but as far as love and spiritual and knowledge, there was none of that in my house. So I was basically brought up with a TV, and I think a lot of my generation, I'm 42 years old, you know, could relate to that. And then, you know, the generation following this is the internet and so forth. And, you know, the things that I look at, though, too, is there's free will on our behalf as well, because, you know, like yourself, Vinny, you're out there, you're pursuing truth, you got the knowledge, you research, and you're interviewing a lot of people that are doing the same things that I'm doing as well and that you're doing. So we could actually break out of this mind control and this matrix that they have us in. And I think that they're allowing this right now, you know, with shows such as yourself and, you know, Alex Jones, even though he's, I feel more on a more controlled corporate level, even though it is, you know, truth or whatever that might be. They are allowing this truth to get out there. So we can break out.
The question is, can they stop it if they wanted to? And I don't think they can. It's I was talking to Karen Hudes the other day. I think it might have been yesterday even. And she said, oh, we've already won. And I was like, how do you quantify that? And then it hit me. The only thing that was holding humanity back from beating the New World Order is there was no awakening happening, right? Once an awakening starts, can't be stopped, right? Like, you know, when you it's like real early in the morning, Mo, and you need to take a wiki leak, and your body wakes you up, and you can't go back to sleep no matter how hard you try because you badly need to take a wiki leak. That's what's happening to humanity at the moment. Everybody is being forced to stay awake now until they go to the bathroom and purge what they need to.
Well, I agree and I disagree. Where I disagree is that the system that we're in, like if you look at Skype, that's what we're on right now. You know, Microsoft owns this, and, you know, there's all these various conspiracies about, you know, Bill Gates. And if you look at the internet, you know, to the best of my knowledge, based on the research that I've done and what I've heard from other researchers out there, it was invented by the military, you know, the U.S. military. So, you know, I think they could shut down things much more quickly than we think they can. So I think they could stop it at any time they want to, but they don't want to because it's such a minor level and it's not going to threaten their control systems that they have in. So they're going to allow people such as ourselves to do this, and we're going to be monitored, I feel. You know, whether that be your government in New Zealand or my government here, they're going to watch us. And as long as we're not a threat, you know, I don't feel knowledge is a threat. You know, knowledge about, you know, the chemtrails, knowledge about the GMOs and what they're putting in the food. Because obviously they understand that there's this knowledge out there. They have the, you know, in America, the U.S., forget who certifies the organic here, but they have a specific, you know, organic food unit, you know, from the government that certifies the organic stuff, and the GMO stuff is just the regular stuff, you know, that goes in the store. So the people that are hip to it here in America, we can go over there, you know, down the street from here in Carlsbad, California, there's a place called Jimbo's, and it's all organic. There's no GMO or anything in the store and so forth. You know, it costs a little bit more. But, you know, my theory there again is that they're allowing this knowledge to get out there, and it's up to us to use free will to use it to protect ourselves and then also inform our children, you know. And that's where I think people are lacking. You know, myself, I have children, and I know there's people out there that have children, and we need to educate them so they, of course, take this knowledge and then educate their children and their children. And we do it to, you know, live better lives. I don't think we're ever going to be able to necessarily break out of this system because their whole goal is control, and it always has been. I always, you know, based on my research, we've always been in a, you know, a slave type society. So,
well, you know, slavery does suck, and this is something that I've concluded is that, you know, I'm a slave. I know that I am, but I really don't like being a slave. And despite the fact that all this physicality that you see technically is enslaved, what's up here? What's in my mind? They don't think I'm a slave. We'll be right at it.
Look at me, look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And of late, the AmericanFreedomRadio.com website has been down all the time. Like, all the time, it's down, which is incredibly frustrating. Nothing seems to be getting done about it. So in the meantime, you can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And there's a player button on the homepage there. Or if you Google Vinnie Eastwood chat, there is a chat room that also has a player in it. So you can still listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show even without AmericanFreedomRadio.com being there, because their radio streams and everything that broadcast out operate independently of the website. And so I've stolen them for your listening pleasure. And my very special guest is Mo Bedard from GnosticWarrior.com. And we're talking about martial arts. And what was his name? David Whitehead. Have you spoken to David Whitehead before? He's got a dojo and that kind of thing.
No, I know who he is, but no, I've never spoken with him.
I'll hook you up, bro. Yeah, anyway, we do this thing called the Man Talk Project, and it kind of brings these elements of martial arts into his life, and you've been doing that a little bit yourself lately. It's about self-control, and what's interesting is I've started to relay this to the battle between good and evil. Like if you say, look at the Karate Kid, the movie, for example, you have a look at the bad guy in it. He's not about restraint. He's about attack, kill, whatever, by any means necessary. Whereas the good guy in the martial arts movies is the one who restrains himself. Someone who has a resolve of sorts, somebody who has honor. And I think that this is a very important element in the truth movement, because we all get attacked by trolls, various other forms of pituitary retarded scum. But what I think is really good about this is it gives you a chance to show who you really are. Do you lash out in anger, or do you have a calm, measured response like a Zen master?
No, I agree. You definitely have to have that calm response. And I was the exact opposite before I got into martial arts, or actually, you know, until I got a little bit older, I was always a little bit more aggressive and, you know, the attacker. It wasn't I was like a big asshole, but I was just always aggressive, and I really couldn't always control my emotions or my anger and so forth. And that always got me in trouble a lot. Started using drugs and drinking at a young age and kind of went down the wrong path. And, you know, even though I'm older now and getting into martial arts just 2 years ago, again, I'm 42 years old and, you know, going to get my black belt here in the next year. It's really taught me a lot about self-control and having that calm reserve. And, you know, when you're sparring in the rounds with other guys that are black belts and know how to, you know, kick your ass, basically, it's really difficult. And a lot of these guys are really good at what they do, and you think you're tough, but when you go in the round with these guys and they've been training for so long, it definitely makes it difficult. So you have to be calm, you have to be collective, and it's like a chess game, you know. And you got to think about that also in the truth movement as well. And you know, we have these people that are, you know, we might consider our enemies, the powers that be or whoever that be. They are the ones that rule over us, you know, and we got to find ways to kind of break into that system and flow and not use anger and be more zen-like with it, you know. And, you know, this stuff can stress you out. There's a lot of things that are negative that deal with the truth movement, and you got to watch that, you know. And that's my big thing as well, is trying to stay as positive as you can. Of course, be realistic with everything, you know, and there's yeah, negative aspects.
I was about to say, I really dislike the people who ignore all the negative aspects. They pretend that they don't freaking exist because they don't like it, because they just don't like it.
Yeah, definitely. My theory there is all emotions are good as long as they don't consume you. You know, you could be in love fairyland, you know, with this new woman that you meet or whatever, or this new, it could be a new food or a new drug, and it just totally consumes you, and it just unhealthy. You have to have balance in everything you do, and even, you know, a little bit of anger here and there is okay, as long as it doesn't consume you, you know, that anger and that hate. And, you know, you use it in the right ways and when you should use it. It's really a fight or flight response, you know, anger. So we shouldn't use it when you're, you know, driving. You know, hopefully you're not getting all pissed off at the drivers. I know it gets hard, but it's really something you don't want to do, because it actually damages you, I feel, because it releases these chemicals in your body that actually damage your heart and your central nervous system. So it's important that we manage it, but we, you know, you don't stay overly positive or overly negative. That's kind of the balance, you know, and we all got to find that. And each one of us is different, you know, our personalities, I feel, and our souls. And, you know, we can't be like Vinny, or you can't be like someone else. You got to be you, and you got to, that's what I feel is gnosis is, and being a Gnostic. It's your own path that you find, and you're comfortable living, you know. Mm. And sometimes, you know, some people like living, you know, completely negative, and I feel that, you know, if you're constantly living like that, that's bad. So again, that's balance. So
I think that change is the only constant in the universe, and what people have done is they've in fact, there's a landlady here from Birmingham, and she said to me once, "I don't like change." And I said to myself, you know, let me get this straight. You don't like the only thing that is assured to happen. You're pushing it uphill, man. I mean, come on. If I was insane, okay, and I wanted to be happy, what I would do is I would ignore all the things that don't make me happy and ignore reality whenever it tries to prevent me from enjoying my insane happiness, right? And sure enough, that's what everybody's doing, isn't it? People have gone absolutely crazy because their pursuit for pleasure and happiness has overrided their pursuit for truth.
I agree. And I actually believe, you know, I used to have a little motto for my website called "There's a War for Your Soul." And I actually think it's this deep in this world that we live in. And I believe in immortality, but also mortality. And I believe that we come into this world multiple times and you're given chances. And if we come across these truths and we ignore it and we have all these signs and we just want to be complacent and do nothing and we want to, you know, not have change in our lives because we're comfortable wherever we're at and we know all these things and we're not doing anything about it and we're not serving our fellow man out there and loving them and really doing something, I feel that it affects our souls. And, you know, I don't, you know, believe in the hell and the heaven thing, because I believe that's kind of something we create here on earth ourselves, you know, our own heavens, our own hells. But I also believe that there's some type of afterlife judgment. And, you know, if you look at the Egyptians, and I know you've had several researchers on here before, and, you know, if you look at the writings of Graham Hancock and Robert Bouval and all the guys that have written about ancient Egypt, they had several rituals for thousands of years that dealt with this in the afterlife. And you could see this on their hieroglyphics. And, you know, I know this is brought into the Catholic Church as well, because they have their own rites. And then you have Freemasonry, which has its own occult rites and symbolism with the various religions that deal with this as well. So, and they're always talking about, you know, immortality and, you know, Hermes, the thrice greatest. You know, this is basically a guy that has lived three times. So I believe there is something more being played here on earth. And, you know, the magic spell that we're under has us forget about all that. And you know, we come into here and we're given this free will choice. And if you're brought to the light and you're brought to the truth and you basically go back to the darkness, that's a severe, you know, if you're in, you know, Christianity, sin, you know, or a taboo that you do not want to do. So I believe, you know, people such as yourself, Vinny, that you're meant to do this. This is your destiny. And if you were to put down the mic and put down the video camera, that you would suffer some severe consequences, possibly in another life, you know. And you're given this platform that's amazing, you know. And even though it doesn't equate to dollars, you're reaching thousands of people with all this knowledge and all this hard work you put into it. And I think there's a reason that you're here to do this, because not many people could do what you do. And there's, of course, a lot of people out there that are doing this. You know, I'm doing it on a small scale, and then, you know, with LoanSafe.org on a larger scale with the mortgage foreclosures. But I feel we're each here kind of doing our little niches. And once you find that, you gotta go with it. And that's your higher calling. That's your soul. You know, the bullshit down here of making money and, you know, having that nice car and that nice house is the bullshit of earth materialism that, you know, Satan's kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. And, I'm starting to get a little bit more religious of late, right? Not necessarily because I believe in doctrine, but because I believe in teachings and their values, right? So you have a look at a lot of the major religions. What are they really teaching at the end of the day? Well, they're teaching peace, mutual respect, and morality, right? Yep. That's it in a nutshell. That's pretty much all religions locked down as far as I'm concerned.
Across them all, correct.
Yeah.
With love, of course, I would throw love in there as always a big tenet of all the religions as well.
Yeah. And then you have a look at who controls these religions, and they're people who want war, who have no respect, who have no love, you know? And then it dawns on me that, my God, the religions are just like the governments. They say one thing, and then they do completely different. Therefore, I don't think I'll ever actually follow any religion to the letter. What I'll do instead is I'll follow my own path through life and adopt these religious principles to stop me from becoming evil, at least. You know, you know, that's, I think, what the premise for a truther, at least of my caliber, that religion plays in my life is merely to give me a background, a wall, these walls that I can't pass through because it's just not moral. It's just not ethical. Somebody starts, attacking me online or something like that, using disgusting language, violence, threats, physical abuse, and what have you. That wall stops me from doing what my reptilian brain tells me to do, which is fight back, say the exact same kind of threats, even worse, back at them. Take a conflict, turn it into a war. That's what my brain tells me to do. And then my heart tells me, no. You're not allowed to do that, Vinny. It violates all the principles that you're sworn to uphold. You're going to wind up becoming the very scumbag that you wish to expose. Don't freaking do it. Sure enough, I don't. And instead of hurting somebody who's trying to hurt me, I wind up staying up until 3 o'clock in the morning editing a video to help somebody who needs my help.
Definitely.
That's how I make up for it.
Yeah, essentially what you just described right now, Vinny, is Gnosticism and Gnosis. It's your own spiritual trip. Because in a nutshell, religion is teaching spirituality, but the word religion means to bind. So when you are joining a religion, you're binded into a brotherhood or a various rites or cults or what that might be, but you're basically binded with whoever is part of that religion. So if you're part of the Catholic religion, you know, you share in the Catholic rites of the Catholic Church, which of course is mainly Rome, and then you also have the Orthodox Greek side, which would be the Greek rites. So, you know, most people that are in the East or Greece or in those areas would follow that, and that would be the Byzantine Empire. So there's these various rites where people are a part of the religion, and the Gnostics were the guys that kind of saw and didn't want to be a part of that, you know, being binded to an empire, you know, whether that be Rome or whether that be the Greece Empire. You know, in Russia right now, you have the Russian Orthodox Church, and, you know, 75% of Russians are members of this church. And we're talking about the biggest country now in the world. So these religions are basically almost like brotherhoods. You know, the Catholic means universal, you know, in Latin. So in English, it means universal. It's a universal religion. And what they did is, at the time of the forming of the Catholic Church, they abolished all the other religions at the time, you know, in Rome's mind under Augustus Caesar, and they implemented Roman law and the Roman Church. And from there, you know, we get what we get. So, and then again, Jesus, he basically tells you in the Bible, he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. You know, and this is the outcome of what we have for the past 2,000 years. We're in the year 2013, you know, and they have dates to these time periods. You know, I believe we're in the sixth age based on my research, and we're coming to that end right now, and they're signifying this, I feel. You know, with the Pope, we had the change from Pope Benedict over to Pope Francis, and you basically had Benedict, who was more, I feel, materialistic, flamboyant, kind of the way he portrayed himself with the way he dressed and kind of carried himself over the years, and then his resignation, and then Francis, Mr. Humble Guy. So
yeah, well, I guess he'd been a dick. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. I think Thomas Paine once said, "My country is the world, and my religion is to do good." We'll be right back.
Present has gone. Fantasy is a part of reality, and we take the brakes off. We're thinking clearly, yet not thinking at all. And this feels right. We stop trying to control things. Warm rush of chemicals through us. We're fluctuating. Is this brain damage? We forget all the pain and the hurt in life. We want to go somewhere else. We're not threatened by people anymore. All our insecurities have evaporated. We're in the clouds now. We're wide open. We're spacemen, orbiting the Earth. Yeah, the world looks beautiful from here, man. We're nympholeptics, desiring for the unobtainable. We risk sanity for moments of temporary enlightenment. So many ideas, so little memory. The last thought killed by anticipation of the next. We embrace an overwhelming feeling of love. We flow in unison. We're together. I wish this was real. We want a universal level of togetherness where we're comfortable with everyone. We're in rhythm, part of a movement to escape. We wave goodbye. Ultimately, we just want to be happy. Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. And you can check out all the archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. If you have a radio station or something of that nature, you can become an affiliate for free. We'll just give you the archives and everything, and you can just play them all, and you can replace, I think, about a third of the ads. As long as you play a few of those American Freedom Radio ones, it's fine. Mo Bedard from GnosticWarrior.com is my guest. And we're talking about religion, spirituality, and for men, this has become something that's almost put into the background, right? We as part of the human species, right, we're supposed to be interconnected with all the rest of the human species. But the problem is we've been divided, fractured, getting into all these different genres of music, different genres of movies, and different cultural niches, to the point where we're not together with really anybody. There is no universal togetherness, is there? And I think this is a very, very important thing to recognize, because without that universal consciousness, without that awareness, without gnosis, i.e. knowing, rather than just believing, we've got real problems here, you know? I was thinking that was probably the difference between gnosis and belief. Belief is believing what something is, believing that you are who you say you are, who you think you are. Gnosis is not relying on belief. It's relying on knowledge, facts, evidence, something that's verifiable, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, and what I want to specify too is gnosis is different for all of us, you know, our different past, just like, you know, you're different, Vinny, from some of your friends, you know, different from your girlfriend, your fiance, or your significant other. You know, I'm different than my wife. I have four boys and one girl, and they're all different. You know, so gnosis is finding that individual inside yourself, and I believe that's our soul, you know, our higher self. And it's a spiritual higher path, and you got to follow that path, and the truth is within us. And I believe the truth is within our blood and our DNA. And I talk about this a lot on my blog, and some people kind of get, you know, a little turned off by that, and some people like it. You know, all I'm talking about is we are our ancestors, and our ancestors are us up until now. And we actually have the teachings of what they have done in us. And a lot of how we react and how we do is really the reactions of our ancestors and how they have been trained. So, you know, if you grew up, say, in the African bush, I'll just give this as an example, you know, the African bush or the Amazon, you know, you're going to have a specific DNA and training from, you know, your ancestors and your father and your grandfather to let you survive in the African bush or the Amazon. You know, you're not going to have the intellect of Einstein. You're not going to be putting, you know, things together and making machines like, you know, if you were to come from the Western race, which, you know, some people would say is, you know, some of them are Jewish and so forth. And there's a lot of us are actually cousins to the Jews, but that's another story in itself. But basically it's tapping that inner gnosis and that knowledge and that intuition when you know something is right. And you do that through research and through knowledge. That's why Freemasons, you know, the Knights Templar, all these secret societies, the Rosicrucians, they're huge on knowledge. That's what it's all about, is garnishing that knowledge while you live. And my belief is our DNA is like computers, and we're learning that now via science, because they're making computer hard drives out of DNA. You know, they're doing it out of salmon DNA. And my understanding is these cells that they're making, these DNA computers, are a gazillion times more powerful than the ones they're making now with these Intel chips and quantum processors and so forth. So I believe all our ancestors and all those knowledge and all those teachings are in our blood, and we have to tap that when we live. And when you start researching your ancestors and you get a DNA test, what you do is you have now a guideline to who they were and what did they do? What did they study? So that's what I got into, even though I study, of course, other things and other beliefs and other religions or and other knowledge. I started studying what my ancestors studied. And I'll tell you what, my knowledge and my intuition and my learning and my gnosis went up a millionfold. It was like night and day. I went from studying things where I know I was studying some of the stuff they did to mainly studying what they did. And what I'm learning is I'm relearning things from them that's in my blood, and I'm learning this through gnosis. And some things I could, you know, look at and go, this is right or this is wrong via that. And Plato said all learning is remembering. And, you know, Manly P. Hall had said, you know, the mind is in the blood. Carl Jung, he was a big Gnostic, a Swiss Gnostic, and he had said all the memories are hidden within the blood, not in books. So you got to see these clues that they're leaving for us to understand that's where it is for each one of us. And, you know, if you're of a different race, you know, there's five or six different races on Earth, and I believe that a lot of these knowledge and these teachings are within these different race groups that we're in, and they kind of hide that from us. And I think that's the big thing. You know, Freemasonry seems to accept, you know, various religions and so forth, but you know, it's definitely based on knowledge and gnosis, and that's what I believe the G means in Freemasonry. It's gnosis.
Now, again, it's another religion, Freemasonry is, and as I mentioned in the previous segment, you have a look at the top of the religions and you see who controls them, and then you're like, wow, all of these religious tools and things and what have you, they're actually really, really good. The only problem is the people up at the top who violate their own rules. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take Freemasonry, for example. I've got a number of friends who are Freemasons, fracking good guys, and they know what they're talking about. And then you have a look at the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree with all the sexual abuse, the child sacrifice, the demon possession, and all of this kind of stuff, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. These guys have managed to separate themselves from the rest of their brotherhood by choosing not to follow their own rules.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you hear rumors and conspiracies about these things, you know, the child sacrifice and all these things. But I've never seen evidence of that and proof of it. You know, you hear things, but to me, those are kind of the conspiracies surrounding it. Do I think that they're, you know, interconnected with a secret brotherhood and various royal families that want to rule the world? Yeah, you know, that has been the basis of their orders, I believe, from the beginning, and I all their rites and their degrees, I feel, indicate that. And they're right across, you know, at 13 blocks from the Washington, the White House. They're 13 blocks right from there. You have the Scottish Rite Freemason building. You know, the first president of the United States here was a Freemason. Several presidents were Freemasons. We're basically a Freemasonic built country. So I feel there's a conspiracy to control the world, and it's a one world order, and they're interconnected with the church and the various other secret societies. And I feel something big is coming down right now with that. And they're letting us know with these changes with the top, with the popes. You know, Putin from Russia just went over to the Vatican, I think it was today or yesterday, and visited the Pope, which is the first time in, I think, 25 years. So there's a lot of moves that people aren't seeing, you know, that they're indicating to us. And I think we're entering that age. They call it the age of Aquarius, where it's the age of truth. And this old age is going to basically disintegrate over time. And I was talking to a guy today named Robert Sullivan. He wrote The Royal Arch of Enoch, and he's a 32nd degree Freemason. He's a historian, and he's been studying all this stuff for a long time. And his study is kind of the same as mine as far as the research into the ages. When an age ends and a new age begins, there's a transition period where the old one kind of crumbles and destroys, and the new one is being built. So I see people such as yourself, Vinny, myself, the other guys out there that are actually doing things, as we're building that new foundation, and the old one is getting destroyed.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll be back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, to talk a little bit more about that. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and you can listen to the streams at TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com or Google Vinny Eastwood Chat. There's a wee chat room in there. I can't check the chat during the live broadcast when I've got somebody on Skype on the webcam behind me, though, so don't expect my participation. But if you want to hang out in there with other listeners to the Vinny Eastwood Show, go for your life, son. I'm sure it'll be fun. Now, what was I thinking about over the break? Ah, damn, it's gone. All right. The theme song that we started off with back in 2010, done by Unity Pacific. The song's called Unity. It just played here in the segment of the second hour here. It's about peace and love, harmony, solidarity, right? And if I remember correctly, I am attempting to bring solidarity to people by giving everybody this platform, by talking about pretty much any subject that's under the sun, whether we'd be talking about stuff like chemtrails or aliens or spirituality or Freemasonry or alternative health or 9/11. Doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, it's all open slather. Nobody's got a monopoly on the truth. And you may as well talk about it, because look at it this way. If knowledge exists, even if it turns out to not be true, it's usually like a story. A story, even if it's fictional, can still be a really good story that can teach you some very, very fundamental truths. And if you want to support this show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, 5 days a week, bringing on New Zealand activists and researchers from all over the globe, go to TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com and click donate. Or give us a couple of dollars a month, whether that be $5 a month. Some people are doing $20, some $50, some $100 a month into the bank account even, because that way PayPal doesn't even get a slice of it. You will fund this operation. In fact, you, the listeners, have been funding this operation entirely for not less than 2 years. I've been surviving solely on your donations and your kind support for upwards of 2 years. In that 2 years, we've been doing a shockingly large amount of shows and work that would not have been accomplished in any way had it not been for your support. And we keep consistently improving the program, adding in more video content, more interviews, more scumbaggery being exposed. It's just good investing, all right? You're investing in your alternative media movement by investing in me, because I help everybody in the alternative media that I can. It's pretty straightforward. Right, now, back to my very special guest, Mo Bedard, who makes his own money. And in fact, Mo, people have criticized me because I can't actually take the time to go out and make my own money per se. I instead do a whole bunch of charitable sort of work, and as a result get donations for it. You're doing something different. You're actually making your own money. You're actually helping people, financially speaking, with LoanSafe.com, and also
actually,
in your spare...
.org.
Yeah. And on top of that, you are in fact becoming a highly respected researcher in this field. Now, I believe you're getting now very close with Jordan Maxwell, who's maybe entering towards the end of his lifespan, and apparently he's passing on a lot of his research to you. Is that right?
Well, yeah, we had discussed that. I don't know if that's true still. He kind of went on a hiatus not too long ago. I had various interviews with him, I think about 4 or 5, on Gnostic Warrior. And that was actually the start of the Gnostic Warrior podcast. And my thing, I wanted to focus on Gnosis and Gnosticism. And Jordan was one of my first guests. And, you know, I had, of course, you on and Santos Bonacci just recently. But from my understanding, you know, I actually went out to Burbank and we met and we had dinner and went back to his pad and we talked for several hours. He showed me all his archives that he had in his computer. He showed me his Manly P. Hall archives that he had, and he's talked about several times, and I saw them and touched them with my own hands. So it is real. He is a real person, and he does live in a bedroom in someone's house. He has a little mattress on the floor, you know, and I haven't talked to him in a couple months. And what people need to understand about Jordan, and I've only known him for a little bit of time, and you know, like you from, you know, the various podcasts and seeing him on YouTube and him over the years, is that he kind of goes in and out of public eye and, you know, talks to people here and there, and he'll show up when he wants to. So that's where he's at right now, I feel. He's had a lot of problems with various people over time. You know, I don't know, you know, some people say it's, you know, him taking advantage of them. And then, of course, he says it's them taking advantage of him. I don't know the truth of everything. I didn't investigate
it. Look at
it
this way. If he was the one taking advantage of somebody else, would he be living on a mattress on the floor?
No. No, what I do know is that he's had some issues before where he has problems with earning money because he can't doing what he's doing. And if you guys want to research that out there, you can yourself. It's public, on the public domain. I'm not going to throw Jordan under the bus because I have a soft spot in my heart for the guy. I love the guy for what he's done, you know, and like me, I made mistakes in my life, and I feel he made a mistake, and that causes him to only limit the amount of money he can make in this field. And again, go check it for yourself. Go Google it. Not everything you find out there, of course, on the internet is true, but you actually could read about this yourself direct from the entities that were involved in it. And I think that's kind of the main reason he can't earn a substantial living or have bank accounts and stuff like that. And then he has had other issues, of course, with people, business dealings, where they almost essentially own him because they help him out and lend him money, is my understanding. Almost like a bank. You know, if you're to get money to do your show, Vinny, and you're to go under some guy and he's to say, hey, Vinny, you know, I'm going to lend you money for X amount of time, but there's conditions. That's a contract. And I think he went into some of these contracts that he really didn't know what he was doing, or he did, and they've come back to bite him. And that's where he's at now. So that's why he doesn't have JordanMaxwell.com anymore. It was taken over by one of these business guys that he had worked with. And this guy claims that, of course, he was the one that was a victim of Jordan, as opposed to Jordan being, of course, when you talk to Jordan, it's a different story. So I don't know. I don't know. He never tried to do anything to me. I didn't think he was shady. He was definitely hard to get a hold of sometimes, but researchers you'll learn in this field is we're neck deep in our research and doing things and busy. But I think he is getting older. He's, I think, 73 when I met with him just this past 3 or 4 months ago in Los Angeles. And he's still getting around. He's walking around, and he looks pretty healthy. The guy's super tall if you've never met him in person. I know you're tall, Vinny. I think he's like, I don't know, 6'2 or 6'3. So that was kind of a surprise. But he was really a nice guy. And, you know, I wish him the best. And even if he made a mistake or whatever happened out there, it's, you know, we all make mistakes. And I think he's repented from it, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, as long as you do that, I feel if you make a mistake and you move on and you're sorry for what you've done and you don't repeat those same mistakes, then I feel that, you know, you're good to go. You know, all of us make mistakes and we're not perfect. So That's the story of Jordan and me.
Yeah. Sounds like Jordan did a deal with a psychopath and didn't know they were a psychopath until afterwards. Because that's what they tend to do. They come in and they promise you this, they promise you that, and blah, 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 blah. None of those promises ever eventuate. And then when you start to expose them for being the bearer of false news, they wound up saying that you're the bearer of false news. You're the psychopath. You're the one who's the manipulator. I'm the victim.
Yeah. What I think it's all of that, and we get confused being, you know, in this matrix, you know, and I feel a lot of it deals with money. I don't think money is the root of all evil, but it sure is a lot of damn evil comes from money, and what it does to friendships and to people, it's just horrendous. And I think people sometimes take that lower path as opposed to the higher path in these business relationships. So, you know, maybe he had good intentions at first, but you literally are acting like a bank if you're loaning somebody money with conditions, and it's almost like a slave contract if it's a contract on a person, you know, and their livelihood. So yeah. you know, so it's just it's a tough thing.
If somebody's somebody's like a researcher or they're just doing what they're doing anyway, with or without your help, I don't think you need to put conditions on a contract or to give them some money. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I agree, Vinny, and that's I think what you would do with someone if you had the money and you were in a position to lend it to somebody, and I would feel the same way, and I would do the same way. It's I think that. That ethics and morality that we have within, and some people, it's just business is business. You know, yeah. If I make a contract with you, it don't matter. I own your ass. You know, and that's how. Yeah. You know, but they're never going to word it that way, and that's maybe why he calls himself the victim. And woe is me, I lent him money, and he screwed me. So now I own his website and screw him. So that's basically it in a nutshell. It looks like he lent him money. Jordan didn't pay him back, or it didn't pan out, or something had it. They had a falling out, and then. He ended up owning the website, and all his products that he created over the years are pretty much that kid's owns them. I don't know I forget the guy's name, but
whoa.
Go ahead.
Dude's coming out saying he's a victim of Jordan Maxwell and also currently owns everything that Jordan Maxwell has done over his 70 years. Oh, I'm the victim.
Yeah. I don't, again, I don't know what was said. We all have free will, and this is unfortunately what people don't realize. And everyone, it's a business deal. Just like when you get a loan from the bank, you know, they're your friend when you need money, but when they want to get their money because you owe them money and they're foreclosing, they're the evil bank. And, you know, so there's this paradigm. We got to understand that it's a contract and it's a business contract. Pretty much every deal we enter into is a business contract. You with American Freedom Radio, it's a business kind of arrangement, even though, you know, however you got it set up, it's a business arrangement. And everything we do, because we're governed by money, and we talked about earlier, you know, we're all slaves, it's a business arrangement, because we're de facto got to make money when we turn a certain age. And if we don't, you know, and that's where people take sometimes the lower path, and their morals and their ethics go out the window, and they'll do things like this. And it doesn't matter if the guy's 70 and he has all this work, a deal is a deal. And unfortunately, a lot of people think like, and those are the guys that are rich. And Vinny, I think you probably know that. Those are the sharks out there. And they're the guys on Wall Street. They're the guys driving BMWs. Those are the guys that are making $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. And that's nothing to them. You know, we're making 1% of that or 0.5% of that. And they couldn't even fathom living off of that. And they never would do what you're doing because they're taking the lower road. They're taking the materialistic lifestyle. They're not listening to their higher selves. So
yeah. Well, see, I unfortunately had a lot of bad business experiences as an employee. And in so doing, I physically can't be an employee, you know. Physically, I actually have panic attacks if I'm about to be employed. So I think this is something I could have conceivably made probably $1 million by now. Right, if I kept doing what I was doing, the problem is my conscience and my heart and my soul were screaming at me, don't do it. And I couldn't ignore it because you can't get away from your conscience. You can't get away from your heart. You can't get away from your soul. It's in your ear all damn day screaming at you.
That's what I'm saying, Vinny. Right there, there's a war for your soul, brother. And you took the soul the higher path. And I feel when people cross that line, that was that line crossing where you went with the light and the truth, brother. So that's where I'm feeling that when we cross that line and then we don't listen to that, that's where we may cross hellfire when we die or whatever happens. And so
I hope that many people cross the line, and the problem is it requires trauma. Like, it's actually a requirement. I have not yet met anybody, Mo, who has achieved anything important in their life that hasn't gone through trauma at some point. I don't know. Can you think of anybody? I don't. I mean, even bad guys who've achieved billions of empires and stuff, like, say, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or whatever, you know, you read their biographies and you have a look at all the people that were mean to them or screwed them over or something like that. In some cases, they were mean and screwed each other over and stole this technology, stole that technology. So it's either this is the road to success. You either become traumatized and then you get over it, or you traumatize others and steal their ideas while they're getting over it.
Yeah. No, we live in that type of society where it's a dog-eat-dog world, and it's kind of what used to be where we would just steal each other's stuff or pirate it, which is still happening on the higher levels, but on the lower levels, it's almost business, on a business level, and you... If you want to make a lot of money, you got to be pretty ruthless. I don't know a lot of rich people that aren't ruthless a little bit in their dealings. And, you know, a contract is a contract. You know, so as far as the ethics and the morals go, it all depends on us on what we're willing to do with these contracts and these businesses. And you know, went with your higher self by deciding to get out of the business that you were in. Because I could tell, Vinny, you know, with the way you could talk, you're a great salesman and you could probably sell anything. And if you were smart, you'd sell the highest ticket item if you wanted to be rich. But that's not your goal, you know, and you're a testament to that. You're what I would call a podcasting monk, basically. You are. So
otherwise known as a punk.
There you go. You know, so you're basically living like the life of a Jesuit, you know, the priesthood, even though you're not a Jesuit or part of the Jesuit order like Pope Francis, you're living that humble lifestyle where you're serving mankind and you're living off donations. And that was basically the way the priesthood, the Jesuits, Freemasons, and a lot of the different orders used to work, strictly on donations, and they would serve their communities.
Yeah, so, before they got corrupted and wound up creating money out of thin air and destroying communities, you know? It's amazing how money can corrupt you once you've got enough of it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
It's a summertime affair! Shut it! Women on your mind, yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the summer schedule. We're trying to get all the new songs and everything put up there to help all of you Americans and all of those in the Northern Hemisphere be reminded that at least it's summer somewhere. My very special guest is Mo Bedard. Now, we were talking about work and the reason why people find their different careers, and you know, the suffering and the pain and the scumbaggery and what have you. It kind of forces you into these sort of things, and it becomes almost like your choices get made for you. Now, you mentioned fate and destiny before, Mo, and I don't believe necessarily in the same type of perspective of fate and destiny that some people believe. Some people believe that their fate or destiny is predestined. It's fatality, right? Whereas I believe it's only retrospective. You look back on yourself and you go, ah, that must have been my destiny. Ah, that must have been my fate. And it's merely a justification for where you are right now.
Yeah, I don't look at it as every action is pre-planned and predestined before you arrive on Earth, but I do believe that there's certain things that happen for a reason, and we get to a certain point in our lives for a certain reason, and I believe that we have a higher self that guides us, and that's different than our bodies and our rational mind, and I feel that was what was talking to you. You know, when you were at that sales job and you were doing scumbaggery and you realized it after a few checks that this is something that I couldn't live with myself with, you know, and that
it wasn't
your higher
necessarily,
self.
It wasn't me that was committing the scumbaggery, though. Like, I always did it real honest and real good, and I made more money than all the dishonest and real bad people. That was what was ironic to me. And it just was the fact that I couldn't bring myself to continue to be around scumbags, not when I wasn't one.
No, I agree. I had a similar experience when I sold real estate and mortgages. So I know how it feels. And there were guys making a ton of money, you know, $30,000-$50,000 a month, and they were doing some scumbaggery trickery, you know, with the loans to make them happen. You know, and that was the difference between what I was making, and I was doing well, $10,000 a month and some $20,000 a month. I was working hard, and I wasn't doing any of that scumbaggery, but just being around it, you know, just I couldn't like live with myself, and I didn't really like the business and anything about it. So you know, like yourself, I started listening to my higher self, you know, and it's something I didn't do when I was younger, you know, and I made some bad choices in regards to drinking and drugs and so forth, and I feel that, you know, my higher self was talking to me at those times and I didn't listen to it. So I almost believe where that's that duality, you know, even though we got to combine the two. And I feel the Freemasons, you know, teach that, and the Rosicrucians, it's combining, you know, the male and the female, which I believe is your soul and your body. That's what they're talking about. And you make them one. And, you know, your calling is something that, you know, you like to do, and your heart finds joy at doing, you know, regardless of the amount of money you make doing it, you know. So I found a way to do that with LoanSafe, where I'm actually helping people in the finance industry. And because of that, you know, that it's not truth and just dealing with what we're doing, it's a more high paying advertising kind of thing. So even though I don't really get donations, I get advertising dollars from Google AdSense. So those kind of pay high because I own a website and a forum that deals with that. And so what you might see here as far as advertising dollars or donations, I could see quadruple to 10 times that because it's in the finance industry and we're dealing with high dollar volume mortgages and so forth. So there's things that people could do out there to make money in the truth movement that is good money. You know, I know you can't be a gazillionaire, but, you know, I feel that my website, loansafe.org, is proof of that, where I'm giving away knowledge and free help to people that are facing foreclosure every single day for free, and then I'm still able to earn a living doing it, and a decent living, you know. And yeah, of course, you're doing it as well for, what, 2 years now, where you're just living strictly off of donations. So I think we're living testaments of that. You know, there's a lot of other guys out there doing kind of the same thing. So there's definitely ways to make money doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think this is a an emerging industry now, and but some people have said, oh, it's the truth movement industry, and they measure that in a bad context, and they go, well, okay, well, hold on a second. Who do you work for? Well, I'm a teller at a bank. Well, let me get this straight. You work for the very evil scumbags that are destroying this world with their ability to create money out of thin air, and we're bad because we give away knowledge for free and try and survive on the bare minimum.
Yeah, that's just the mind control that people are under. And I know you know that, Vinny. And it's the things that we're up against. And that's why we love the internet and we love having websites. Because to just do it, you know, in your town, it would be tough. I know you're doing it on a more... even a worldwide scale, not just in your country there in New Zealand. And then my show, you know, I see the downloads. I'm getting from 100 to 200 downloads a day of my podcast, and it's from all around the world. You know, of course, more is in America, and I know you're seeing more viewers in America, correct?
Yeah.
And then I think UK is second, and then it goes from there. So it's great that we have the podium as far as the worldwide internet to do these things. And I'm sure your donations come around the world as well.
Yeah, that's true. One of my big donors, Gert, who lives in Germany, whenever I'm in trouble, he'll send me like 500 euro, you know, and that's enough to pay 2 weeks rent. And then it's freaking gone. But so, it occurs to me like, whoa. Somebody's actually willing to give 500 euros to a person that they've never met because they appreciate them that much and want to help them out. I suddenly realize I have really important work to do then. Now I need to work even harder in order to earn it.
Definitely. Hey, maybe you have gazillionaires out there that love you, Vinny. So maybe in these donation drives that you do, you know, hey, some of you guys that are multimillionaires out there, you know, if you could throw a million my way or, you know, 100,000, you know, never shoot for the sky. Why not? Right.
Why not? My somewhat fabulous former producer, Mitch Santel, who's at imagineyouandmedia.com, for anybody who wants to be mentored into having your own media entity like I have by him, you can do the right thing and get rewarded for it, just so long as you keep an even keel and you don't let it corrupt you, because that's another thing as well. Being corrupted is something that we're all susceptible to, all of us. At no time is anybody immune to being corrupted, right? That's my perspective on this. And so I put a whole bunch of checkpoints in place, you know. Self-questioning, for example. Have you ever heard of The Ballad of the Cosmic Schmuck?
No.
No, well, it goes like this. If you think to yourself, Am I the cosmic schmuck in all of this? You know, cosmic meaning big, schmuck meaning idiot. If you're questioning yourself like that, it's very unlikely that you'll actually become the cosmic schmuck. However, if you never wonder to yourself, if you never even have the inclination, the little thought in your head, am I the cosmic schmuck? Then it's quite likely that you already are. You know, it's like being a cliche, for example. Me and Sarah were driving around one time, and we rolled past these guys who were in a lowered Nissan Skyline. They were all wearing starter caps and hoodies and listening to loud music. And we looked at each other and we said, do these guys realize that they're a cliche? And the answer is absolutely not, because they never ask themselves, am I the cosmic schmuck?
That's a great analogy, because when you had said that, I actually go, am I the cosmic schmuck? What's he talking about? You know, I thought you were making fun of me here. But no, it's true. We have to have that self-doubt and not always be overly confident and you know, be wrong sometimes. So, you know, I like that analogy that you use. And I always was like that growing up myself. You know, I was trying to find my way. I was, you know, maybe that guy in the starter hat one time. And then, you know, a year later, I was, you know, New Row or whatever the new fad was. And I was just trying to be something I wasn't. you know, but I was always asking myself when I would get in the gear or whatever, I just, this isn't me. This isn't what I want to do. And I'd done that all my life. Like, again, I'm 42 years old and I've had many different jobs and careers. And I finally, you know, being my own boss, owning my own websites where I'm allowed to make money on the internet, you know, dealing with truth, and I don't have to, you know, give up my morals and so forth or ethics to do it. It's great and it feels great, and I never would do anything else. So if I had to, you know, I would be doing what you're doing and, you know, living on a shoestring, you know, but thank God that, you know, I started Loan Safe where I'm able to be in a different position. And I think that's the guy in Germany who is probably, you know, doing something where he's making money in an ethical way, where he makes really good money in Germany and he's able to help you. You know, maybe not give it to you every single month, but he's able to throw you a big bone like that here and there when you really need it. And it's great. If you didn't have the internet and you didn't have the worldwide access that you have, you wouldn't have that. So thank God we all have that right now, or whoever that is out there, that we're allowed to do this. And I think we are building this new generation, this new future, where we're going to be the Glenn Becks. And who knows, it might happen in 5 years or 10 years where this system is torn down. Or it could be 100, who knows? But we'll be in a good position, and especially you, Vinny, if that ever happens, where, you know, you might make, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 to pay your bills, which is nothing. I know now to live on, it's hardly nothing. I mean, those are a poor man's wages, and I know I'm not making fun of you, but I know you're happy to pay your bills, you know, but maybe in 5 years it'll be, you know, $5,000 you'll make a month, and you'll be able to maybe get a house with your girlfriend and get married and hire a couple guys to work with you. Because I know that's what you would do if you had that excess money. You would get the equipment and people to work with you. But also, you need to have a good time and treat yourself good as well. Because I know you work really hard. I think 12-hour days is typical for you every day?
More like 14, 15.
So, and a lot of people don't realize that. It's a lot of hours and it's not a lot of money. So I think the future is bright for people such as yourself and other people that are doing this, if they continue doing it. I just don't know when that date's going to happen, but it seems like it's going to happen sooner than later. I know you've seen the regime change at the top of the U.S. military. So there, I feel, is another sign of this new age that we're in, where I had talked about, you know, we have this new pope and we have these new things happening. I feel part of that, they have to get rid of the old regime. And what better way than to get rid of the most high security personnel in all the world? And they start with the U.S. military. So I feel those are signals to us down here that things are changing. And they're just going to happen slowly but surely. And I think every week we're getting something new out that's happening, on top of the normal conspiracy stuff that we always hear. You know, but to me, those are positive changes that are happening. And we could talk freely down here. You know, as long as we're not a threat, which I feel we're not, by spreading knowledge to the government, and we're not wanting to cause them harm. We're just want to protect our children and our grandchildren and not be poisoned by food and the air we breathe. You know, that's not free will. That's not the opposite of free will. So yeah. I think those are the things, the fights that, like, you take, Vinny. It's like, okay, the GMO, you understand that. You can go eat organic, but this chemtrail shit, you know, it's got to stop.
Yeah, well, I think I saw a great little picture on the girl against fluoride this morning. I was just posting up this little fluoride video that I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night making, and it has a woman sitting there giving testimony. It looks kind of like a, you know, one of those congressional hearings that you have. And she said, "I can't fathom why wanting clean water makes me an activist. I also can't fathom why putting chemical weapons in the water supply doesn't make you a terrorist corporatist."
No, that's just, how old was this girl?
I don't know. She's older. I think she's been an activist in the movement for a while. But it occurs to me that this is the interesting juxtaposition that we find ourselves in. It's this moral question of whether or not you want to give up all of your creature comforts so that you can endure a little bit of pain and suffering, a little bit of ridicule, just so that perhaps you don't get poisoned by a soft kill bioweapon in your water.
No, What's sad is that no matter how much we speak up, it seems like it's not stopping. But I think it's people such as this girl that you just talked about, and many other people out there that are making videos or having a blog or a podcast or whatever. You know, we're educating people and we're reaching people that will now learn. I only drink distilled water now, so a lot of people don't understand that. They just drink, you know, hey, I'm not drinking the fluoride water out of the tap. But did you know that the water out of the bottle is just as bad unless you get distilled water? Because distilled water gets all the metals and the impurities out of it. So only drink distilled water if you want to save your brain from all those chemicals as well.
Yeah, I just started the distilled water regime last week, but it's really, really hard to try and consume a gallon a day. You know, I got up to the point where I was like 5 days in a row, managed to do the whole gallon, and then it just kind of like slipped back after the weekend, and I'm building myself up again. Yeah, it's a process. We'll be right back.
If you place a thing in the center of your life that lacks the power to nourish, it will eventually poison everything that you are and destroy you. As simple a thing as an idea or your perspective on yourself or the world, no one can be the source of your content. It lies within, in the center.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment here with Mo Bedard from GnosticWarrior.com? Or is it .org?
It's .com.
Okay, so you've got GnosticWarrior.com, which is your organization, and you've got LoanSafe.org, which is your company.
Actually, no, there's another company behind them all. So.
Right, so it's like playing a shell game.
Multifaceted,
yeah. Hey, this is another important thing about being multifaceted as well. There's an article I read a number of years ago coming out of Natural News saying that over-specialization turns you into an idiot, right? If you're only an expert on one thing and one thing only, it means that you're a moron in everything else. like you have these brilliant particle physicists and what have you, and they're like changing the world with their discoveries and what have you, and then they go to the cafeteria and start eating burgers and fries for their lunch to fuel them. And it's like, you dudes don't know nothing about nutrition, you don't know nothing about politics, you don't know nothing about anything other than your particle accelerator, which could destroy the world. You freaking idiots.
I believe in that as well. Is you have to be multifaceted and learn different arts, and you know, that could be, you know, they used to teach the different arts, the seven liberal arts, you know, as far as I believe it's here, literature, music, dance, I think that's, I don't know if I'm talking about all of them, but oh, sorry about that. Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so no, I think it's important that we be multifaceted and we learn different things, and it helps us be more full and more balanced as people. And we need to learn about health, and we need to learn about, you know, astrology, and we need to learn about history. So if we start learning all these different things and studying them, it makes us more knowledgeable in different areas. And I think that's important. It makes you more intelligent, where you're able to reason, as opposed to just knowing one specific subject very well, and that's all you do, and you don't do nothing else. So I agree that you become an idiot if you just study one thing and become very good at one thing only.
Yeah, which is probably what would explain a lot of the lawyers and doctors that I've spoken to that don't seem that bright despite 7 years of schooling.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole purpose, right? To go to school that long sometimes. And I feel like that's also in the medical field here in America. It's not healing anymore. It seems like it's killing, you know.
It's drugging.
Yeah, it's drugging. They're just masking the symptoms, as opposed to curing the problem or what is causing them. So we have basically this system that just keeps, you know, drugging these people up with these various kinds of drugs and making these drug companies a lot of money, and they're essentially really killing the people over time if they keep taking these drugs, and a lot of them are addicting, and you know, our whole system's kind of built on that. Over 500,000 people here in America died last year because of the U.S. medical system, whether that be from medications or whether that be malpractice. So almost a million, well, not almost a million, 500,000 people died, and that's on record.
That's so on record. Crazy. That's just the properly prescribed medications. I've got the article in Uncensored Magazine here, Attack of the Medical System. According to their statistics, they're the second leading cause of death, but that only includes that which is properly prescribed. That's all the stuff that isn't an accident. If you add on all the unintended consequences, vaccine reactions and what have you, and the unreported incidences and things of that nature, then it's the leading cause of death. So, you think about this. This is part of my philosophy. Everything from an official source is the direct opposite of what it says that it is. It's the health system. So, obviously, it's there to make you unhealthy and or kill you, right? And that's how they keep their bank accounts healthy. Now, think about a drug dealer, okay? Drug dealer walks into your house and he says, I've got this drug. It'll make you high, it'll get you off the wall, you're just going to love it. And you go, sweet ass, here's my money, I'm going to go and enjoy this drug. And then you do that, you have your experience, you really enjoy it, and then unfortunately you get addicted to the substance. And before you know it, instead of the drug dealer coming to see you, you're going to go see the drug dealer, because it's not that you want his drugs. It's that you need them so that you don't go through horrific withdrawal symptoms. Now imagine that drug dealer ain't wearing a hoodie or a black jacket, hasn't got little baggies and tinfoil wrapped goodies for you. He's wearing a lab coat and has a pen and paper, and he gets you to buy the drugs through him, but not off him, and sends you somewhere else to another person who's part of his clique to purchase your drugs off, for which you get addicted and keep coming back until you're dead.
Well, do you know where the word pharmacy comes from?
Poison manufacturer?
Essentially. It comes from a Greek word called pharmakia, and it's basically the meaning in Greek is sorcerer. So our English word pharmacy comes from a word that in Greek means sorcerer. And the last time I checked, sorcerers weren't these great guys looking to make us better. They're actually kind of those evil guys making these potions. You know, and I look at these numbers, you know, and the numbers that you're just talking about from this magazine, and it is a system that is not here to make us healthy. And now we have this knowledge. So in the past, we used to be our own doctors, and that was part of being a Gnostic, is listening to yourself and to what was wrong with your body, and being aware of what you put in your body and the reactions that you might have, whether that be through your bowels or when you go to the bathroom, whatever it might be, or a cough, and you start paying attention to all this stuff. And when something would happen, you make adjustments, or you know, you put the proper plants and herbs and chemicals into your body that aren't poisons and are going to kill you. You know, we were our own doctors, and now we left it in the hands of someone else, this outside entity, this guy in a white coat, you know, and you said with this little pen, looks all official, you know, these officials that are killing a million people a year or whatever the number is. It's crazy. So now that I know this knowledge, I'm hell bent on being as healthy as I can. And I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to send my children to them. I want to do everything I can to make sure I'm healthy, where I don't get any of these diseases. And most of it deals with what we eat and what we drink.
Yeah, that's right. Let food be thy medicine, and let medicine be thy food. That was Hippocrates, who came up with the Hippocratic Oath, for which you first do no harm. Now, if people were to treat the medical system as it should be treated, you see a serial killer in front of you, you recognize his face from a mugshot, or something of that nature, and you know that invariably most of the time that he has relationships with people, he kills them, okay, in a brutal fashion. Now, imagine if you applied that mentality, because you see a serial killer walking down the road, what do? You call the cops, and you run away at the same time. So it would be quite amusing, I think, if you saw doctors in white lab coats just, you know, walking down the street, ha 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 ha, and then you see these children like running away from them, like, you know, little pigtails flying in the breeze and what have you, little lunch pails and stuff.
You know, that's my dream. That's really my dream of the revolution. You know, if there's ever one in this world as far as the truth moment, is it's the overthrow of these people that mindlessly serve and do not know what they're giving to people, and just, you know, they're poisoning people and killing people. You know, I wrote about it on my blog a few months back. There was a doctor who actually here in America, I think he was in Connecticut, he prescribed $35 million worth of chemotherapy to people who didn't even have cancer. So you would come see this doctor, and because he wanted to be rich, he would tell you you have cancer, and then you would go under chemo, a poisonous thing that kills people sometimes, and people did die from these treatments so he could get rich. So if this is one
roughly 97% of people who do chemo don't survive it.
Wow. So there's just one example of one guy that got caught, and the incentives are money. So there again, you know, the evil from money and a profit-based system. So when you have a medical system that's based on profit, right there it's going to be corrupt. You know, we have to have a system that's not based on profits. It has to put the earth and humans before profits.
I remember Ron Paul talking about when he used to deliver babies. He's delivered well over 1,000 children or something like that. And he was telling an interviewer how much he was earning at that time. And he was getting like a dollar per delivery, roughly. Right. Doctors used to get paid bugger all for doing the right thing. And I think that's really what it should all be about. You don't need a hell of a lot of money to survive. Just do the right thing and frickin' help people, mate. And I can assure you, even if there's no monetary reward in it, it's worth it. Thank you, Mo, for bailing me out today and joining me for this wonderful conversation. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And we will see you again sometime, no doubt. GnosticWarrior.com and LoneSafe.com.